Well, there's so many challenges in making a film like this, but you start with the contradictory nature of the character himself. You know, as you in Arkansas know so well, Clinton is a lot of different things in one person. He's both brilliant and awfully dumb at some times. He is both an expansive idealistic man, and also sometimes narrow and cynical, particularly about politics. So it's trying to resolve the contradictions in him, which was most challenging, and trying to figure out who the real Bill Clinton was, if you can put it that way. And it took about 18 months for me to even know what I thought about the man, and that was after talking to dozens and dozens of people who knew him from childhood on.
Now, throughout the documentary, it is established that Bill Clinton is the quintessential comeback kid. Mm-hmm. Now, was that something deliberate on your part, or did it, you know, did the theme appear on its own and you went with it?
It really was the latter. I mean, the theme, you can't help but, you know, discover that theme if you spend any time looking at Clinton's life, because it's so consistent throughout his life. I mean, over and over again, he stumbles and somehow, often with the help of Hillary, manages to regain his footing and come back. In fact, as somebody in the film says, it's almost as if he needed those falls and those near-death experiences to really get the best out of himself. It was in those moments, and they, you know, we can talk about what those moments were, but they happen again and again, where he picks himself up, dusts himself off, recommits himself, focuses, and that's when you see the best of Bill Clinton emerge.
Now, the documentary deals with several evolutions in the life of Bill Clinton. First, as a law student who jumps straight into Arkansas politics, to then becoming governor of the state, to the race for president, from allowing Rwandan genocide to happen to preventing one in Bosnia. And there's also this reverse evolution in his personality where, you know, he takes responsibility and then suddenly he just gets himself into this big mess.
Yeah.
Which one was the most difficult to present in the documentary?
Well, they all took a lot of work. I think the trying to understand the Monica Lewinsky scandal, it's exactly as you point out. It was only at the moment where he really had mastered the presidency, where he had come back from, people forget how disastrous his first 2 years in office were, and he'd managed to kind of regain his footing, as I said earlier, and triumph and win re-election. And really, at that point, the economy was humming. He had conquered his foreign policy mistakes. He was really at the top of his game. And it's at that moment that he lets his guard down and has this really, really hard-to-explain affair with a 23-year-old White House intern. So why did that happen? How did that happen? And then how did he deal with it afterwards? And really, for my purposes, how much weight to give it in the film? Was this a silly little mistake that shouldn't really define his presidency? I didn't think so. I thought that, you know, the affair and the efforts of the Republicans to use the affair to unseat him from power demanded, you know, a full hour of the film and to really understand what had taken place and why it had taken place. So we gave it a full hour, and it ends up being the climactic fourth hour of the film.
It's funny that you mentioned that, you know, as a filmmaker, you had to think a lot about, you know, why did he make that decision of getting into this affair with Monica Lewinsky? Now, as a filmmaker, is it important to get into the subject's mind to, you know, make sense of why he made the decisions he made?
Well, our entire effort in this film is to understand our main character. Yes, it's a film about his presidency, of course, and the events of his presidency, and it's a film about the especially important, the context in which this happened, the changing world in which he lived. But it's first and foremost a character study of this fascinating human being. So we very much wanted to understand why. I mean, you know, it for a person as smart politically and as intellectually brilliant as Clinton to do something like this and then to lie about it when it was, you know, in retrospect, very clear that he wasn't going to be able to keep it hidden. It's one of the great mysteries of modern presidential politics and something that we wanted to understand. And so we have a lot of discussion in the film from people who knew him, speculating on why this took place, on why he acted as he did. Some of them blame him. Many of them blame his Republican opponents. But it is a key question for us to try to unravel.
Now, another very, very important part of the documentary is the role Hillary Clinton plays in bringing Bill back from political death. You know, she's a solid political advisor to him. She's represented as someone who's stronger yet more vulnerable than Bill Clinton himself. How important was it to draw out the role she played in his life to illustrate what you had to say about him?
Good question, because we wrestled with that as well. I mean, you can't understand Bill's career, his political career, his life, who he was, without fully exploring his relationship with Hillary. They were so intertwined. I mean, more so than any president and first lady or governor and first lady, I think, in American history, she was completely involved in policy, in his private life, in his ambition. And as you say, in rescuing him time and again from political death. So she had to be a very, very important figure, even if she wasn't fascinating in her own right, which she is. But we didn't want to tilt it into, it wasn't going to be called Bill and Hillary Clinton. It was about him. So we did have to, you know, prescribe her role in the film somewhat. And so, you know, we really look at her through the lens of her, you know, either helpfulness or harmfulness to his presidency and to his political career. It's never about Hillary's own projects or her own political ambitions. It's really mostly about, or almost always about, you know, does she advise him in the correct way? Does she help him in this circumstance or not? And it's also, of course, about their marriage and what keeps them together through all this.
Now, you had the greatest sources, people you interviewed for your documentary, Bill Clinton's chief of staff, Leon Panetta, Dick Morris, who is now a critic but was very influential then, Kofi Annan, and Kenneth Starr, the independent counsel. I mean, I literally thought that if you guys have Monica Lewinsky, that's it.
We talked about it, but we decided not to pursue that one.
How were you able to manage to bring so many people, so many relevant yet people who are so busy, together?
Well, I'd like to claim that I'm some genius at it, but the truth is I think people were ready to talk about it. I mean, you know, first of all, the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton camp cooperated with us. So they gave the green light tacitly, although they had, you know, weren't going to see a frame of the film before it was finished. They nevertheless saw that PBS was doing it. It was probably going to be a fair film. So they, to their credit, they gave the green light. So that was a lot of people who wouldn't otherwise have talked to us decided to talk to us. But then once the ball started rolling and some people talked, it really gained momentum on its own. And at that point, I think, as I said, people really felt like they wanted in on it. They wanted to give their two cents on history. They wanted their stories, you know, accurately and honestly told. They didn't want other people telling stories about them. So pretty soon we had, you know, a list of people we could take to other people and they would then agree and so on and so forth. I think out of, you know, 80 interviews we pursued, I think about 70 or 69 agreed to go on camera. So we only got about 10 no's in the entire, you know, 80 people that we sought interviews with. So that was, you know, that made the film. That was the great, you know, advantage we had in making this film.
Which were some of the most painful cuts that you had to make during the editing process?
Well, that, you're asking some great questions. You know, one of the hardest decisions, and decision I know that's going to be criticized, was the decision to really focus on the Lewinsky scandal in the fourth hour of the film. And that meant that we couldn't, for example, talk about Clinton's success in the war in Kosovo, or Clinton's you know, nearly successful efforts to broker a peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians, or the scandal at the end of his administration where he pardons a bunch of people. Stuff like that had to be jettisoned from the film. We didn't have to lose a lot because we were able to cover almost every significant event in the presidency, but we did in the interest of focusing on the impeachment and the, you know, the efforts to, and Ken Starr and so forth, we did have to shortcut a little bit the last couple of years. But my defense of that is that not very much happened in the last 2 years of the Clinton presidency because of those scandals and because of the impeachment. Things basically ground to a halt. And so, but for the things I just mentioned, not very much got done. And so it's not really a loss to not be able to kind of go over the last 2 years with a fine-tooth comb because very little happened.
What were some of the most exciting moments in the documentary for you? For me, it was a picture in which Bill Clinton, who was then just a schoolboy, was shaking hands with his idol, President Kennedy. And it just, it was so amazing.
It's a great moment, isn't it? It just encapsulates the sense of idealism that Clinton had as a young man, the sense of you know, yes, I'm going to be president one day. He really believed that. But he also wanted to be president for the right reasons. He wanted to do good for the world, and you can see that in that moment. One of my favorite pieces of footage is actually taken before his first speech that he gives in the White House. He's just been elected, and he's a new president, and they're preparing in the Oval Office. They're preparing for him to speak, and people are buzzing around him, and the teleprompter is being put up, and someone's putting makeup on his face, and it's absolute chaos. And he's yelling, "Where's the prompter? I can't see the prompter, and get out of my way!" And it's total chaos, and it really captures what was going on in the White House at that moment, which was total chaos. It was an incredibly disorganized White House at first, and we have some wonderful people talking about that speech in that moment where, you know, he looks completely unprepared for what he's about to do, and he was completely unprepared. So I love the behind-the-scenes kind of, you know, unexpected stuff that we were able to find where, you know, when you see him unguarded. But, you know, Clinton always pulls it together. It doesn't matter how chaotic it can be 2 seconds before the camera turns on. When that camera goes on, he's a master.
How long did you work on the documentary?
It took me about 18 months in all, from the time that I got the assignment to the time we delivered the film. And it was, you know, it was a real ride the entire way. One of the great pleasures in this project was going to your home state of Arkansas, your state there, and visiting with people who knew him as a young man. I mean, that was, they were some of the best interviews we did. Some of the kind of their love for him, in most cases, their allegiance to him still, you know, it really shines through. He's made such a remarkable impression on the people of Arkansas, and I'm sure to this day, it's quite something.
Now, as an award-winning documentary filmmaker, you won Emmys, you were an Academy Award nominee, you won a DuPont Columbia Award, a Peabody Award, and made so many documentaries on a variety of topics. How is this documentary different from the others?
I've never done a film that's so deeply focused on one human being. I mean, I've done other films about Abraham Lincoln and other characters in history, but to spend 4 hours of screen time in 18 months of my life with one other person, it really was a new thing. And I don't know how, I mean, if you didn't have someone as interesting as Clinton, I don't know how you would do it. But he is inexhaustibly fascinating person and someone I really, I deeply admire and I have a deep affection for, even though I've never met the man. You know, for all his flaws and for all his shortcomings, very few people like him, very few people with his package of skills and talents and abilities, and basically a heart that was, you know, devoted to other people's, you know, well-being. I did grow to really respect and admire Clinton a lot.
Now, toward the end of the documentary film, the narrator says, there was a curious sense of unfulfilled promises. What would you say is Bill Clinton's legacy then? You know, were all the goods undid by the bad?
No, I don't think so. I think it really depends on what lens you're using to look at the presidency. If you're looking at it from a point of view of, was the nation stronger and better for the Clinton presidency? You have to say it was. We were a richer country, a more respected country, a more peaceful country after 8 years of Clinton. And I think we all miss that now. But if you're looking at the presidency through a sort of lens of, did he ennoble the office? You know, what was left undone that could have been done had he not gotten himself into so much trouble? You know, the moral standing of the office, then you have to judge him harshly for those things. So it really depends on you and how you see a presidency and how you judge a presidency. And I think that will continue to be debated for a long, long time to come.
Thank you so much, Barrick. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Take care.